Struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, welcome. This is Travis Johnson, the Nonprofit Architect, helping you build a stronger nonprofit. I'm sitting here with today with the beautiful and talented Shannon Whittington, founder of Books by Vets and genius behind Creative Literary Consultants. Shannon, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Travis. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for inquiring about my well-being. Would you give us a quick 90-second, 2-minute rundown of Books by Vets and Creative Literary Consultants?
Wow, 30, 90, or 2 minutes. I'll see if I can fit somewhere in there. Books by Vets was founded a couple years ago as an organization to help veterans share their stories in written form to become published if they so choose. Started out as a nonprofit. We're now just a project within my business, Creative Literary Consultants, also known as Brainstorming to Book Sales. And we still help veterans. We do an anthology every year of 22 veterans. So 22 veterans each get to share their story in a single chapter. And we get that published every year. And if they want to write their own story, then my business will help them through the Books by Vets program at a 50% discount on any services they're needing for their books. So that's what we do with Books by Vets.
See, you nailed it. You fall right in within the time requirements. No big deal. Perfect. So we met, I believe, through Jamie Crow. I was at a bowling tournament for the South OKC Chamber of Commerce. And she's like, "Hey, Travis, you're in the military, right?" I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "I've got this friend. She's trying to put this book together by veterans. And I sent you an email and you were working on your first project, Walk with Warriors." Is that about how you remember it?
Yeah. And I haven't been able to get you to go away since.
That sounds about right.
You wrote a chapter for Walk with Warriors and then we evolved, developed the 501c3, had a little bit of help from you to make that come true. You ended up serving on our board, and then we just got rolling. Then we did Resilient Warriors with 22 female veterans, and this year we're working on Red Dirt Vets with all Oklahoma veterans.
And is this just veterans, or is this veterans and first responders for Red Dirt Warriors?
Just veterans. Every book has been just veterans.
Okay.
And finding those 22, so of course 22 is intentional for the 22 that we lose every day to suicide. And our goal is to save them so they can write and share what they've gone through and really purge that pain and give purpose to their pain through sharing their stories, then we have completed our mission.
Absolutely. And I think a good half of my guests so far have made their foray into the nonprofit / public speaking world talking about the power of their story. You know, I've had Shay Sparks on and Brian Paul, and we all love Brian Paul, of course, but there's real power in that story, that vulnerability, that authenticity, and there's something about telling your story that kind of removes the power your story might have had over you by holding it in. I kind of talk about like it's holding a cactus. By letting it go, the cactus can stop hurting you. Is that what you found with the authors you've had to deal with or that you've interacted with?
It is. So once they are able to really get that story out and they see how it impacts others, it lets them know that not only are they not alone, but now they've helped somebody else feel not alone as well. So they realize that what they've gone through, it had its purpose. Even if it was to simply say, "Hey, I know what you're feeling. I've been there too." Now they've helped somebody else. So it gives some purpose to their pain. And once you purge it and you give purpose to it, it no longer has that hold over you.
That's really powerful. Absolutely powerful. Books by Vets is a few years old. You are not a veteran, correct?
I am not.
You're not a veteran. You had the desire to serve. It didn't work out, but you still have a big heart for helping those that did serve, which I just think is awesome. Absolutely fantastic. So you fire it up. How do you decide who do you want on your board?
That's a good question, and one that I never was able to fully answer for myself. Probably one of the reasons that we're no longer a 501c3. So yes, I did want to serve. I couldn't serve due to illness. So I served in the capacity of military spouse for several years. And it did. It drove me to want to help more veterans and to continue to serve the veteran community. Looking for board members, I tend to be very impatient once I have an idea. I want to make it just go.
Aren't we all? Yes,
awesome. I have this incredible vision. I know it's going to be great. Who wants to help me? And the people who said, yes, I'll help, were the people I said, okay. I didn't do a whole lot of vetting in the process. I tend to take people at their word. And everybody who served on my board had an incredible heart. They all had a desire to serve. I don't know that they all had the capacity to truly put in the time and energy that was needed or required. Yeah. Even within the first couple months of truly launching the 501c3, we had a board member bow out. She knew it was just too much for her to take on. And I commend her for recognizing that in herself and making that decision. But then it turned into, wow, we've got to fill that seat. We ended up filling that seat with somebody out of state. Having someone out of state on a brand new nonprofit, probably not the best idea. It's difficult for them to attend meetings. It's difficult for them to feel included. And when you are birthing a nonprofit, inclusion is huge. I mean, you truly have to be a very cohesive team. And so that was really unfair to her. Although, I mean, again, her heart was in it and she wanted to help, mm-hmm. but living several hours away made it very difficult. So we ended up vacating that spot. And now our board is starting to shrink and putting more pressure on everybody to do the fundraising, do the events, and do all of that. It was too much for everyone. Finding volunteers was a lot more difficult than I thought it would be. I'm like, hey, we're doing a nonprofit for veterans. Everyone wants to help veterans. They'll all want to help us. And it turns out people don't like working for no money. There's just something about that.
What? People don't like working for no money?
Right? Oh. There's just something about that. So yeah, it was a rough go. I learned a lot. I have a feeling that Books by Vets will be back on as a 501c3 at some point. Just because I feel it's that important, and I'll be able to take a lot of the lessons I learned from my failures as the founder and turn it back around and do it right the next time.
Well, I think that's really what success is taking those blows, taking those hits, piling up a bunch of failures. And before you know it, you're standing at the top of all these failures and you're looking out over the crowd and you're head and shoulders above everybody else. It's this, if you don't quit, you win mentality. And I definitely thank you for being transparent and showing how, organization can be birthed, grow, change, dissolve, reinvent itself over time, because it's not always going to be, the way that we envisioned it, especially, serving on the board with you. We had a lot of good ideas, and then getting people to actually take the action. And this isn't, a shot on my fellow board members. We all have lives. We're all very busy. We all have a lot going on. And, none of us had training to be on a board. None of us had ever been on another board. I don't know how much time we'd actually put into other nonprofits and deciding, the right way to do things. It's hard. I think we tried a Teespring campaign, and I don't remember how many t-shirts we sold, but I don't think it was more than five.
I think it was the board members.
It was the board members. it was the board members. And then we had our first book signing, and I want to say we had more authors there than we had people show up, which was fine. It was fun. We got to meet the other authors, which is really cool, and talk to each other about our stories, which was fun. But it was
that was the Walk with Warriors.
Yeah. And then we had a meet and greet, which we did at Dunlap Cotting, which was just awesome. Way better than our first foray, way better than our first go around. We had someone donate live music. We had a couple of veteran speakers there. We talked about our organization, and I think we had like 50 people or close to 50 people show up.
Yeah, we sold some books.
We sold out of books. Yeah.
Now that was a good time. Resilient Warriors, the book signing for that went very well also. When you decide to start a nonprofit, probably the biggest takeaway I have from my failure in the nonprofit was choosing board members who have specific skill sets separate from me, mm-hmm. knowing where I'm not strong. So fundraising, not my forte, but you need that clearly in a nonprofit, and just outlining those areas. So you need somebody who's really good at fundraising, somebody who's really good at building sponsorships, somebody who's really good at event planning, somebody, you know, there's like all of these pieces that go into it. When I went into it, I was thinking officers, who's going to be great at filling the treasurer spot. And while you need that, that's not what's going to keep the nonprofit going. Somebody who knows how to run the books is fantastic, and you absolutely need that on the business side of it. But on the person side of it, you need people with those specific skill sets that are going to help it grow. Like you, Travis, were great at spreading the word and inviting people. You're outgoing. You have no problem saying, hey, this is going on, and I count on you. Like, you're great at that. And when people say that, yes, I want to be part of this, I'll have questions. I'll basically have an application for them to fill out. What is your skill set? Where do you see yourself fitting in? How much time do you have to commit? Can you be at events? Do you mind speaking in public? You know, just like all these questions that I now know I need to have answered, not to qualify or disqualify, but to know where they fit and to make sure that all of my spaces are covered so that it can run successfully.
That's a no joke. Right. So you're firing up this podcast and taking a look and researching all these different things and getting into the weeds on some of this stuff. I found a ton of pages about two things: fundraising and board members, and how to determine who your board's going to be. What do you want your board to look like? What size of board do you want? Do you want 4 people, 14 people, 40 people? There's no limits here. You can design your board however you want to do it. Do you have a fundraising goal that each member of the board needs to raise funds independently in order to maintain their status on the board? You know, are you having these people, are they reaching out? Are they engaging? Are they actually donating their own personal funds? If you're not committed financially, do you really believe in the mission? Or if you're not getting your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers and your bosses and your business connections into the fundraising scene to promote your fundraiser, to promote the nonprofits you're on the board of, do you really care about the nonprofit? And there's so much literature out there, so many other podcasts out there that talk about how to run an established, you know, corporate level board. There's not a lot of people out there talking about the nitty gritty, the one man show, or the new nonprofit, or the young nonprofit, of how to get your board members engaged and get them working. I was recently working with another nonprofit in Oklahoma City, and it's almost a solo act, like Books by Vets was. You know, you had all the knowledge, but she was afraid to engage her board. Like, she had asked too much of them. I was like, well, what did you ask about, you know, from them? I asked for donations one time, and I understand her weariness, right? But we're not asking, you know, on behalf of ourselves. We're asking on behalf of the mission. We're asking on behalf of the people we're trying to help.
It's funny that you talk about that, because another thing that you really have to watch is recognizing your own money blocks. You know, if you think that donating $100 is a lot of money, asking somebody for $5,000 is going to paralyze you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you have those money blocks, it doesn't matter how much you believe in the mission or the organization or how much you love the people that you're working beside. If you have money blocks, you're not going to ask. Or if you do ask, you're going to ask apologetically. And I know it because I've been there. I've been there myself. Mm-hmm. Where if I don't have the funds, it gets in my head, who am I to be asking somebody else to give of themselves if I'm unable to give? And you have to be able to get past that, because like you're saying, I'm not asking them to give to me. I'm not asking them to pay my bills. I'm not asking them to fill my bank account. I'm asking them to help me help others. And once you can shift that mindset, it gets a lot easier to ask, but you have to be able to break through those money blocks. And at the time of the nonprofit with Books by Vets, I still had money blocks and I hadn't worked through those. And I didn't even recognize it. Like, I didn't even realize that I had that going on. I mean, you and I had a couple conversations, but even then I didn't realize how deep rooted that was in my own psyche. And trying to run a nonprofit when you have money blocks is just another way to set yourself up for failure, because you're not going to ask.
Yeah, you're not going to ask. Or if you do ask and you get rejected, you almost feel this personal rejection. I imagine that's stronger for you because you're the actual founder. So it's your vision, your baby, you know, you identify with it, right? But you know, when we get told no, or really, well, I like to say, you know, not right now, it's for a whole host of reasons. They obviously had the meeting with you. They obviously wanted to talk to you about your project. Maybe the ask was too big. Maybe the ask was too small. And because your vision was so small, they didn't think you deserved the money that they were willing to give. Maybe they, no kidding, have something going on in their world. They have to re-roof their house, put up a new fence. The car is broken or whatever the list is. And it's a no this month, but to guaranteed yes next month. And
now, when you have those money blocks and you hear that no, all it does is solidify your belief that people don't have the money.
Right.
And so again, I mean, just breaking through, I mean, if that was, aside from knowing how to structure a board, knowing how to vet volunteers, breaking through those money blocks would be right at that same top of the list of what you need to take care of before launching a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I talked to Patrick Kirby recently, and he's written a book about fundraising. I'm kicking myself for not having, oh, it's Fundraise Awesomer on Amazon. Fundraise Awesomer.
The editor in me really struggles with that.
I know. You know, homonyms are a real waste of time, but if you spell them incorrectly, it just gets you going on the inside, gets you churning. But I love the way he breaks it down. And he's like, almost everyone in a nonprofit that ends up doing the fundraising is really an accidental fundraiser. They drew the short straw. They got told to do it. They weren't at the meeting and they got, you know, volunteered or whatever the thing is. All of a sudden, you're trying to go out and do this thing. And chances are you haven't been trained. You haven't been taught. You haven't been mentored in how to fundraise. And his book, Fundraise Awesomer, which is like 100 pages, a real super quick read. Read it, you know, in an afternoon. And it really lays out the structure of what to do on different days of the week, how to make the ask, how to, and he breaks down a story about how he asked and received a $3 million donation. And, you know, stories like that, that help get you invigorated to go out and actually take action, because, you know, knowledge is only half the battle. The other half is taking action. But it's amazing to see that so many nonprofits are struggling in the same space of board members and fundraising. Now, you decided,
because we have this grandiose idea, but we've never done it before. So you have this grandiose idea, you know, it needs to be a nonprofit, but you've never ran a nonprofit. Maybe you've never served with a nonprofit as far as like being on the board and seeing how that all works. I mean, there's just so many different things that could be in the way of you having that knowledge and knowing how to do it. A nonprofit is not something, as I've learned, that you can just go on faith and be like, well, it's a great idea, so this is going to turn out wonderful. I mean, again, who doesn't want to help veterans? But if you don't know what you're doing, it's going to fail. And you have to take that time to learn. Had I slowed my roll just a little bit and made just a couple different choices and done things just a tiny bit differently, it would have been a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think that if we focused on just an anthology, an annual anthology, would that have freed up more time to work on your business, the stuff actually paying your bills, and allow you to promote more and work on the process more than trying to help everybody.
Absolutely. And that's the thing too, is that whole niching down, because when you feel this need and you see the need and you want to take care of it, you want to go a lot bigger than you probably ought to.
Oh, so we're talking, are we talking like mission creep, or are we talking about writing a real finite, niche down, laser focused mission statement?
You really have to. It's like people who want to help the animals. Well, are you going to save all the cats? Are you going to save every animal in the world? What can you really do as one person? You probably can't even save all the cats. You probably have to start in a neighborhood or a city. You know, like, you have to start smaller than, and probably people hate cats, so they don't care, but.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. You cat lovers out there, I'm not picking on you. We're just making generalized fun at the animal that really, really, really is kind of a jerk.
So, you know, I love all the veterans. I want to help all the veterans. Well, if we're a 5-man crew, can we really help all the veterans?
The millions of veterans out there?
Right. As a 5-man group, I don't think we can do that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, had we pulled back and been like, okay, this is our vision, but this is our vision for growth. Now let's back up. And where are we right now? Let's start where we are right now with what we have and make that go. It could have been so much different.
And it will be next time when we launch. You know, we learned a little bit about copy, right? How to write a Facebook post that gets engagement and actually reaches people, and how to get the shares on. You learn some of the social media stuff. You learn how to connect with different media outlets and how to, you know, build a relationship with them. You had a relationship coming in with a local news anchor. They got us access to the local news, and we got to be on TV and talk about our vision, right? And that opened the doors for other conversations to build other relationships with people in business and different things. And it really is a massive, massive undertaking for anyone that wants to be in the nonprofit world. And if you listen to my podcast up to now, it almost sounds like I'm discouraging people from starting nonprofits. and I want to be clear that I'm not. I want people to understand just what they're getting into. You want to be in the NFL, you don't just show up to the combine. You have all these steps and all these things you have to do, and you have to do weight training, you have to get your head straight, and you have to read all the playbooks, and you have to get coaching every day. Coaching at every level, coaching in high school, coaching in college, even the pros, the top people in the game, Tom Brady, love him or hate him, his coach is in his rear end all the time, and he's considered one of the greats. He still gets coaching, but somehow in the business world or the nonprofit world, we don't really want coaching. We don't want someone to tell us where we're lacking. We don't want someone to say, hey, That's good work, but did you maybe think about tweaking it this way or talking to this person or doing this thing? We don't want to hear it in the business or nonprofit world. We have multi-million dollar athletes that get coached, yelled at, screamed at, mentored, talked to on the side, you know, motivated, invigorated by these other multi-million dollar coaches. We have to understand that we don't have all the answers. We have to understand it's going to be hard, that you have to refine your process day in and day out in order to make anything worthwhile.
And knowing where you lack and being willing to find the people who can fill those spots for you. You know, you talk about we had to learn copy. Mm-hmm. We could have found any social media manager out there and requested that they donate their time to write some copy for our nonprofit. Never did it.
Yeah, we could have reached out to the local graphic design school and had them compete for $50 or whatever to design a logo for us or design a t-shirt for us or whatever the case is.
Now, there's a lot of resources to use out there, and knowing where you're weaker. And if you want to be strong, you have to fill, you know, use your football analogy. The quarterback can't also be the tight end.
Unless you're Baker Mayfield. You know, but that's all.
No, I mean, you got to know your position. You got to stay in your lane and let other people do their job and trust that they can do it. And that's, you know, that trust is, again, coming back to building that board that's going to work for you.
Yeah.
And being able to trust them and being able to task them. Mm-hmm. And that's where interviewing them before getting all giddy and saying, oh, you want to join? Okay, yay, I got somebody. Woohoo! So, no, stop. Take off the happy goggles.
That's step one. Step
and
one
be is able to say no.
As the end.
Be able to say, I love your passion for my organization. I could really use you in a volunteer capacity more than I could use you on the board. Are you interested? And if they're not, let them go. Because chances are it was an ego stroke for them anyway.
Yeah.
To be able to say, I'm on a board. So they probably wouldn't have even served well on the board if they're not willing to take that. So just being able to say no and really vet out those board members and volunteers so that you get the right people in the right places. I mean, that's just paramount to success.
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting you talk about the ability to say no, because I think you and I worked on the ability to say yes. If I remember, you were kind of shy and not interested in talking to people or public speaking when we started hanging out. Is that pretty accurate?
It's the approaching people for the ask. That was where my biggest struggles were. And again, I had those money blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So approaching people for the ask was very hard for me, whether it was asking for time or cash. And it was because I was operating from a place of lack in my own world. You know, I didn't have an abundance of money to give, so how can I ask somebody else? I didn't have an abundance of time to give, how can I ask somebody else? And we did. We had those conversations, and things got easier. They became more fun. And even when they weren't fun, I pushed through because gotta do what you gotta do. But
yeah,
it's just one of those things where you have to be willing to grow and develop and step outside that comfort zone if you want to achieve what you see in front of you as possible to achieve. And we achieved it. We just took the wrong path through it and hit a dead end. Now we can turn around and work backward, find that fork in the road and take another path and start over again.
So if you hit a dead end, you can turn around and go back?
That's what I hear.
Wow. You hit a roadblock, you can do something different and get around it? Wow.
It's usually what those detour signs are all about.
Detours over dead ends. That's what I like to hear.
That would be a good book title.
Right? I definitely love talking book titles with you. Definitely love talking book titles. What was the one we talked about? Like when we first met, you were the janitor and the CEO.
Something like that. Yeah. Well, that was a long time ago.
Janitor and CEO, the solopreneur's guide to, you know, success in business. Someone out there right now is writing this down. It's like, that's a fantastic book title. I'm going to do it before they do it. Go ahead, steal it. We don't care. We won't take it. We don't have lawyers. No big deal.
I have a copyright. It's not copyrighted, so go on.
No, this is ideas for you to use. Take these ideas, make them your own, grow.
Better hurry. I'm going to go get the domain right now.
So
you'll have to buy the domain name.
I like to wrap up each of these episodes with the same question. What can we do for you, Shannon? How can we help you?
We're trying to find our 22 for Red Dirt Vets. Now, I know it's a podcast, and so it's going to be more than just Oklahomans listening to it, but we need Oklahoma veterans that are willing to be part of Red Dirt Vets. So we need our 22. We only have like 5 right now, so we need like 17 or so.
5 is definitely less than 22, and I applaud you with the public math. 17 is the answer of how many we need. So that's fantastic. Shannon, thanks for being here. Love having you on. I always love talking to you. And even though we're 8 time zones apart, we can still connect. Love this technology deal. We're going to have all your contact information in the show notes. So anyone that wants to get on this Red Dirt Warrior project can absolutely sign up, get themselves published, and then go around saying there are things like a published author. And right now, if you want to buy any of the books we currently have on sale, you can go on Amazon, Google Walk with Warriors or Resilient Warriors, which is 22 female veterans sharing their story. And those links will also be in the show notes. Shannon, thank you so much for not only being on the show, but being my friend and having and struggling, suffering through the board process with me as a board member. I definitely appreciate that.
Well, thanks for having me on, Travis.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.